Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Thursday night, you and Ahmed pick reactions from the barn. Florio pick reactions from his barn.
Yeah.
Dueling barns.
We couldn't get Florio to talk about the draft 2 years ago. Now he wants
to make videos in the barn.
I don't want to talk about the draft. It's a crapshoot. He sources it. He tells everybody. But then when he gets one right, he goes, hey, my mock draft, I had that guy going there.
Because he has good
information. You can't make that shit up with him.
Jeez. Thank God I don't watch that crap.
Yeah, that's right.
First of all, I've been doing videos reacting to the draft from my barn long before you've been doing videos reacting to the draft from your barn.
I think you stole
the idea from me, young buck.
I don't even think I stole the idea. I don't know how it happened.
Let me just clarify. Yeah. I'm far less interested in the draft this year than I was 2 years ago. You got it backward. 2 years ago, I was all in the Jerry Jones sense. Now I'm just like, can they get this thing over with so we can find out? I just want to find out where these guys go. The uncertainty bugs me. It's like staring at your presence under the tree for weeks. When can I open the damn things? That's when I can open the damn things. Coming up in 13 hours. We already know what the big present's going to be. See, it's supposed to go the other way. The big present's supposed to be last. We know the big present is Caleb Williams, number one overall to the Chicago Bears, barring something completely unforeseen. And we're getting closer and closer to knowing it's Jaden Daniels to the Commanders at number two.
Locked in.
Notwithstanding last week's Topgolf clusterfuck.
Right.
Fudge. And then after that, that's when the draft starts. So right about 8:45 p.m. Eastern, when Chris is good and baked, that's when the draft will start. Well, you'll be good and baked at 8 o'clock Eastern. So
definitely.
Really,
I mean, it's time when it's time for showtime. It's time for showtime. I'll be ready to go. Yeah, I can guarantee that, right? Yes. Yeah, so definitely. I'm glad you wore your combat gear to the show today, because I plan on taking more shots at you at all the time.
I'm ready.
Damn.
What's the temperature up there in the barn? Get him in now because you won't be here tomorrow, because tomorrow we actually have a guy who was drafted in round one.
Oh, yes.
To help me break down the draft. And that was my decision, not yours.
Okay.
My decision to replace you on Friday, not yours.
Okay.
It's not you saying, I can't stay up late and get up early. I'm too old. I'm too delicate. So we got a first rounder tomorrow.
I'm done giving free work. That's what I'm done with.
Hey.
That's all right. You wanted to go down that road,
listen,
and then
I know. Okay. I'm just having fun. Devin McCourty's going to be on tomorrow. We should have him on today because, man, talk about can't hide money. Devin McCourty sitting courtside with RKK last night.
Wow.
At the Celtics playoff
game. Wow, yep. Big
had
time.
To make sure it was Devin, not Jason. Identical twins.
Yeah,
you never know.
Devin.
But I'm getting to the point where we've been around Devin enough that I can tell there's subtle differences between the two, and I know when it's Devin,
right,
not Jason, in large part because Devin would know who I am. And Jason's like, who the hell is that guy? So that look of recognition in the face would have something to do with it. But yeah, Devin's sitting courtside with Robert Kraft as the Patriots finalize their plans. Are they going to take the best offer? Are they going to take a player? That's, as I said, when the draft begins, Chris.
Oh, that's when it begins. Yep, but I was just having fun. I mean, there you go. Oh, man, look at that. Right. I mean, yeah, you can't hide money. I mean, Mr. Kraft, it's falling out of his ears. He's got so much of it. So, you know, he's riding the coattails of Mr. Kraft there. But that's awesome they were there. He brought bad luck to
the
Celtics.
I wish I could read lips. They lost. Don't you wish you could read lips, though? I watched that clip last night, it's like, man, I want to know what they're talking about.
Yeah, no. McCourty is such a beloved player of that Patriots organization. I mean, he stands for everything the Patriots, you know, believe in and what they believed in through their dynasty. Hard work, detail, you know, selflessness, right? All about the team. He never made a peep about anything, really. It was the ultimate good soldier to Bill Belichick and Mr. Kraft. So they love him, and that's cool that Mr. Kraft brought him there and, you know, they saw the game and all that. So that is cool. And you know, you're right about that. I was giving you crap, right, about the draft and all that. I know you've been doing it longer. I know you've been doing it in the barn. I knew all that. I was just giving you a hard time, okay? There was a time, like, when I first started working for NBC, we got a rundown the night before. It was probably more than 2 years ago. It was probably like 4 or 5 years ago. And it was the night before the draft. And we got a rundown. And you were like, I don't want to talk about the draft. And that will forever live in my brain this time of the year, and I'm always going to bring it up. So I just, you know, I hope you can deal with that.
I have no recollection what you're talking about. Seriously, I have no idea what you're talking about, and I have a feeling there's a chance you're wrong. Before we go any farther, though, I do have to point out that
this
you can't buy it. It's one thing to wear expensive stuff. It's another thing to wear stuff that you can't even buy. They don't even make it. Kevin O'Connell had this vest on, not this specific one, as far as I know. I don't think his would fit me because he's, like, really tall. But he had this on when we interviewed him at the scouting combine. I was looking for something to wear. You know my rule, closest and the cleanest. I happen to see the vest. It is cold today. It's under 40 degrees outside, and I've got my air conditioner set to be on, so it's not kicking on the heat, even though the heat might be necessary. You may see my breath by the time this is all over. So I figured it was a good day. Try to channel some positive vibes to the Vikings as they try to make a move higher in the draft.
Oh.
When everyone knows they want to make a move and everyone is going to stick it to them. They're going to have to pay.
It's you versus me right now
to get to where they want to go.
Let's start it off. It's you versus me. It's G-Men versus the Vikings right now. And the G-Men, right? I mean, it is. It's going to be a little Florio Sims battle tonight.
Drake May. I hope the Giants get Drake May. God, I hope. Of all the things I've hoped for in my life, at least in the last couple of years, I hope for nothing more than the Giants to get Drake May so your head will literally explode.
Well, if he joins the squad, I'm gonna join in the support of Drake May. I'm a Giants fan, so that's gonna happen. I mean, I'm gonna. I was not all for them, drafting Daniel Jones either, right? And I've supported him, and I certainly think they're, you know,
and it's worked out very well.
They're screwing him over. Well, I think they're screwing him over a little bit. You know, I don't agree with this, but listen, this is real. Like, there's no doubt about it, right? I mean, I know from enough people now that the Giants and the Vikings are both trying to trade to number 3 with the New England Patriots, and they are both trying to get Drake May. That is, period, hands down. Now, where the Patriots are in that situation and who they want and do they want to take Drake May or anything like that, I don't know that. I don't know. But I do know that it is a Vikings-Giants showdown right now for that third pick and seeing who can get, you know, Drake May to be their quarterback of the future. That's a very real thing out there in the NFL. It's going on, and that's, I'm sure, conversations are going to go on throughout the day to try to get that all figured out, Mike.
Doing the deal with the Giants would still put the Patriots in position to get J.J. McCarthy if that's their fallback, because they'd go to number 6. Now, they could get jumped by the Vikings, for example, at 4 or 5 if they do slip back to number 6. Doing the deal with the Vikings would give them 2 first-round picks this year. I still think that the Patriots are going to take the best offer from one of those two teams. That's pasta and meatballs. I think all this talk about, oh, they're going to take Drake May, that's all bargaining, negotiating tactics.
Yeah, sure.
Getting the two teams to put more on the table. I say this all the time as it relates to a player. Your best leverage is, we're just going to keep him. No, I don't like your offer. We're just keeping him. When you come off as, we're desperate to sell, that's when the price changes. So if your attitude is, and I think that's the attitude the Patriots need to have, basically, we have Drake May. We're just going to keep him. That will entice the Giants and the Vikings and anyone else that may try to come out of nowhere to give more. And at the end of the night, the Patriots could emerge with enough picks to make a bad roster better. And that's why I think it doesn't make sense for the Patriots. It really doesn't make sense for the Giants. Let me tell you, the Giants have been a hot mess since they won Super Bowl 46. When you look back at how they've struggled, they haven't been able to build a team. They're building from the outside in, not the inside out. And now they've got all these needs. And they're going to give up draft capital for a quarterback who comes in. While they have Daniel Jones under contract this year, $35.5 million fully guaranteed salary, could they trade him? Could that be the end result of this?
I've crossed my mind.
Daniel Jones to the Patriots?
Yeah.
Is that part of this package?
I don't know.
And if they get him,
right,
do they trade him to the Vikings? I mean, the Vikings saw what he could do in a playoff game. They see what he can do when he's healthy. He's basically Kirk Cousins who can run, isn't he?
I mean, in some ways he is, right? You know, I mean, again, I know I started off this segment saying, yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the Giants drafting Daniel Jones back in the day. I think it was pick number six, and what's where they're sitting
yes.
there right now, right? I wasn't. But at the same time, you know, I've reevaluated, and I don't think he's a superstar. But, like you're saying, there's a lot of problems with the Giants. And then, yeah, I don't know what the Daniel Jones situation would be. As I was finding this stuff out yesterday, right, and as I really found it out kind of yesterday evening, I was like, man, that was one of the first things that went through my brain. Well, what are they going to do with Daniel Jones? That's a little weird. But at the same time, Drake May, they want him. I mean, they're like – viewed by everybody as kind of the guy that needs to be, like, things have to be fixed. That's not like Chris Sims thing or some other guy that breaks down quarterbacks. Like, I don't know anybody, even his supporters on TV, everybody recognizes he needs some time, and there's some things and polish and technique work that needs to be done. And in a huge year, you know, where Daboll went from Bono to Bozo, right? And it's a big year like
yes.
that. I just can't imagine them going, okay, wait, leave Daniel Jones and we'll ride this out with Drake May and Drew Locke in a big year where our ass is going to be on the hot seat with Bill Belichick hovering over everybody. That's where I'm like, I don't understand that.
And sorry, Cher, your late former husband did not get an intentional shout out this morning. It's not Sonny Bono. Bono. Bono to Bono.
Did I say Sonny? I didn't even know I said.
No.
Okay.
You said Bono.
I said Bono.
You said
okay.
Bono.
Okay. Okay.
Sonny
okay.
is the only Bono of
yeah.
which I'm aware.
Okay. Sorry. Bono. Sorry. Sorry.
Did you go to the show at the Sphere?
No.
You didn't go that
night.
No, I did not.
I did not. Nope.
You had dinner. We'd be friends. High rollers. The high rollers hanging out at the Wynn. Too good for the commoners to go to the Sphere.
I know. Yeah, you
at
commoners.
Least I remember we were in Las Vegas.
Right.
At least I remember we were in Las Vegas.
Commoners
now.
At Sphere with $1,000 into the last row of the place. Yeah, you're real common, Mike. Like, kiss my ass.
Hey. All right. Pete dropped in an interesting nugget here. I mentioned the Giants have been a hot mess since they won Super Bowl 46. They have the fourth fewest regular season wins since winning that Super Bowl against the Patriots. The Jaguars have the fewest at 60, which is really depressing considering 2017 they were on the cusp of going to the Super Bowl. Jets at 69, Browns at 70, Giants at 76. Fourth fewest wins since the 2011 season. And it's been ricocheting from coach to coach. I mean, the one cycle that was broken this year is Brian Daboll didn't get fired during or after his second season. It had been guy with the big suit. Why am I blanking on his name?
Ben McAdoo, right?
Brill Cream Ben McAdoo. I know the word Brill Cream would trigger the recollection. And then it was Pat Shurmur. And then it was Joe Judge. Am I missing somebody else?
No.
And then it
right.
was Brian Daboll.
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom. And a lot of it is one of the recurring themes. Ownership keeps a big spoon in the stew and stirring it around. And, you know, I've heard that the whole Daniel Jones extension, because it's like, well, what are they, like, why are they doing this? They just signed Daniel Jones to an extension last year. Apparently, and I don't know this to be 100% true, but I've heard talk that it was all John Mara. It wasn't Joe Shane. It wasn't Brian Daboll. They were actually against it, as I've heard it.
Those are all the signs they're giving.
Who wanted Jones.
Right.
And because really, why would you? Like, if this was Shane and Daboll saying, we got to sign this guy to a massive contract, even though there's no apparent competition
exactly
for
right.
services,
right.
you would fire them. You would fire them. You wouldn't keep them on the job and then say, go ahead and clean up my mess by drafting a quarterback, even if you're trading up and putting assets in. I'm telling you, I hadn't thought of it until today. Daniel Jones could be part of the mix there, because all it takes is one. Now, it has to be one that you're going to trade with, but you could trade with him elsewhere. You could get extra assets to trade up from 6 to 3 by trading Daniel Jones to someone, to anyone, to the Broncos. I don't know. Hell, they just got Zach Wilson. They may as well get Daniel Jones too. Complete the New York sweep of failed starting quarterbacks. So I'm just saying that if somebody out there secretly loves Daniel Jones and believes if he's healthy, and that's the big if, they can take him and turn him into something, that's a possibility for tonight. And maybe the Giants would pay part of the salary to just move on from him. I mean, if they're going to pay him $35.5 million to sit his ass on the bench because they're going to put the new guy into the fray to try to save the jobs of Daboll and Shane right away, why not pay $10, $15 million of his salary to get him off the books or more? You're going to pay him $35.5 to sit on the bench, and you already have Drew Lock there to be the backup anyway. I hadn't really thought about that angle to it, but, you know, I'm looking at this as, well, they're going to have Daniel Jones and Drew Lock and new guy. Man, that's weird. Maybe Daniel Jones will be gone by the time that this conversation is happening tomorrow.
Yeah, maybe. I thought about it. You know, I mean, it certainly went through my head like I explained. But, you know, I think some of the points you just made, though, I don't know if that's going to get it done for some team, right? I mean, again, like, the problem with this is Daniel Jones has an aura around him and a perception that's just not positive. Plus, it's the ACL injury. So, yeah, like, as much as I go, whoa, maybe they'll trade Daniel Jones, that's weird. At the same time, I go, wait, but who's going to want Daniel Jones? Who's going to be able to sell, hey, Daniel Jones is about to be our starter, and he's coming back from an ACL, everybody, and we're paying $35 million or whatever it may be in case the Giants do. That's where I just don't see that move being made. I don't. And if it's going to be Drake May, which everybody thinks it is, and you know, from people I know and connected to this situation, right, that's what it seems to be, right? I don't think you want to let go of Daniel Jones if it's going to be Drake May. Again, back to the thing where, no, I mean, nobody thinks Drake May can hit the field running next year, which is hilarious because I want to go, that's not a number three pick of the draft. But see, this year, everybody just doesn't care about that. It's just,
that well, is an excellent like a, point.
Right?
That's an excellent point.
Right.
I was saying that yesterday on radio somewhere. Like, if you think enough of a guy to make him the third overall pick in the draft and you're going to give up assets to get him, you can't put him on the bench. This isn't Alex Smith, Patrick Mahomes.
It's weird. In a
One
big
team
year,
got away with that. Right. And in hindsight, you know what? In hindsight, the Chiefs, I still think, shouldn't have done it.
I agree.
Now, I'll defer to the expertise
yeah,
of
but
Andy
I'm
Reid,
with you. Right.
But I still think they should have played him from the get-go. I think they would have been fine
yes.
if they had put Pat Mahomes on the field from the get-go.
Right, right. Agreed, right. Agreed. Like, I want to go, like, if what was the last playoff game Alex Smith played in, the Steelers game? Right?
Yes.
I want to go. But if Mahomes was playing in that game as a rookie, they would have won that game and been in the AFC Championship as a rookie. Like, I have no doubt about it. People were wide open everywhere. That was the – or no, maybe I'm thinking of the year before. I might be off
no,
by
I
a year. Because it might have been that Steeler game
right.
that got them to draft Mahomes, where they were like, wait, we're not going to be able to ever do this, right? Maybe I'm off, but either way, I'm with you in the fact
no,
that I think he should have played.
I think you're right.
Yeah, you think I am?
I think
am?
It was 2016 playoffs,
right.
the game that got bumped from afternoon to evening because of freezing rain. I think that was that one.
Yeah.
That
okay.
was the one where okay. AB in the locker room after the game
right.
on Facebook
Did the Instagram live.
Live.
Right, right.
Mike
right.
Tomlin called the Patriots assholes. And
yeah.
It's just
right.
beginning of the end for AB right. in Pittsburgh. But
yeah,
I remember that 2017 season.
Yeah.
That 2017 season, the offense was very sluggish in November. Travis Kelce on this program said, Patrick Mahomes doing some incredible things in practice. And I'm like, why the hell don't – put him on the field. Let's see what he can do. Because remember, in the preseason, you and I both were like, holy crap, this kid can play.
Yeah.
So anyway, the point is, if you're going to go all in the sense before Jerry Jones tried to change the meaning, if you're going all in with a young quarterback, what are you doing putting him on the bench? And if you don't think he's ready to go, you're getting the wrong guy. And what's it going to do to save Brian Daboll and Joe Shane?
That's to
if
me
they
the...
make this big move
right.
to get somebody who's not going to help him now, and then it's like, go make it work with Daniel Jones and Drew Locke. We're putting the rookie in bubble wrap this year. Are you kidding me? Now, dysfunctional teams do dysfunctional things. Hot mess Giants, it wouldn't surprise me if they do something like that.
I don't know what to think right now. You know, again, I think to your point, right, and all things point, you know, signs point to that direction. You know, buyer's remorse, back to Rich Eisen, right, at the NFL Combine saying that. He obviously heard some of the things that you're hearing as well, right? And the fact that they're drafting or in this conversation about this quarterback and wanting to trade to 3 to get Drake May and all that, I think does speak to what you're saying. I mean, those are signs, again, we don't know. I'm not 100% sure, but you and I have been around this for a long time. You know, that would be a sign that, yeah, the owner did it, and now the coaches are going, wait, owner, we don't like that. We like this guy, and we want to go there. And within that, like, you got to think they're pretty secure. They feel secure with their job, that they feel they obviously have another 2 years maybe without having to be under the chopping block of, you know, the Maras or ownership or anything like that. Because, that, again, it's a bold move, like you're talking about, like you're saying. That's the other thing that went through my mind here is, wait, they must feel secure because if they draft Drake May and this year still goes like 6-11 or 7-10 or something like that, right? I think common knowledge, common sense, people would go, man, I don't know. Daboll might be on the hot seat. Shane might be on the hot seat. I don't know what to do. But to make this type of move, that would make me feel that they've been told, hey, you're okay, right? Maybe ownership is admitting, we messed up. Now you fix it. We'll give you some time to fix it. And maybe that's why they're willing to do the Drake May thing.
Unless ownership is saying, this is what you're going to do and you have to fix it. Too bad. This is who we want.
Could be.
Make it work. And we've seen guys get fired. Pat Shurmur got fired after 1 year with Daniel Jones. Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace got blown out in Chicago after 1 year with Justin Fields. It used to be if you would make that move for a quarterback, especially if you trade up like the Bears did with the Giants, coincidentally, in 2021 to get Justin Fields, it gave you time. That was one of the political reasons within the building to do it because it would buy you time.
Right.
I don't think this buys these guys anything. It may buy Shane more time. I don't think it buys Daboll more time if they go out and get May and they put him on the bench and they're 7-10 or 6-11 or 5-12 this year. By the way, just point of clarity here.
Yeah.
The Steelers beat the Chiefs in Kansas City after the ice storm that delayed the game 2016 season.
So that's what got
that
them drafted.
The foundation.
Right, right.
That got them to say, we're never going to get any farther than we are with Alex Smith. We need someone else to get us in contention for the Super Bowl every year. And in the year that they didn't use Patrick Mahomes, it was the Titans in the playoffs, the same team they were playing in the preseason when he made that incredible throw.
Mike Mullarkey
can play. Right.
Fired a pass to himself.
Blew a 21-3 lead.
Yeah.
The Chiefs blew a 21-3 lead to the Titans, and the Titans advanced from the wild card game. That was the Marcus Mariota caught the pass,
self-caught,
scored the touchdown
laid
pass,
out. Right.
One of the best games Mariota ever played in his entire career. And I was just thinking of Mariota earlier because there's some names in this draft that aren't exactly easy to pronounce. And I think of the commissioner going up there with the cards. I remember him mispronouncing Mariota's name in 2015. And he got the right part, the hard part right, because everyone called him Mariota. Mariota. It's Mariota. And he got the Mar. But then he said Mariota. The thing nobody ever got wrong. Mariota.
Right,
with the second overall pick, the Tennessee Titans take quarterback Marcus Mariota, Oregon. Okay. Good luck tonight with some of the guys with the complicated names top of the draft.
Yeah,
right,
got some work there.
Let's focus on the top of the draft.
Yep.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Caleb Williams. I'm amazed they're still taking bets. Now, the odds are minus 20,000. You got to bet $20,000 to win $100, but it's a pretty safe bet. I mean, short of like a safe falling on Caleb Williams while he's walking down the street in Detroit, and frankly, as the future Bears quarterback, I probably wouldn't feel all that secure in Detroit today.
Yeah, right.
But short of something like that happening, he's the guy.
Yeah.
There's no doubt. It's amazing they haven't taken him off the board.
Yeah, he is the guy. Oddly enough, you know, Drake Croucher, who does the fantasy football show with Matthew Berry and Connor Rogers, right, and is our resident betting expert, he came on my pod yesterday when I was busting you a little bit and saying stuff there. He said, it's actually it's a good bet, though. He did say it's a good bet, right? I mean, he said almost the same thing
you
said. Barring him falling and dying or something crazy, he's going one, and it's actually a good bet. You just got to have a lot of cash to throw down to make that bet happen. But yeah, come on, we knew that. I think you and I kind of felt like it was in the bag almost at the combine. Like it was a little bit like he was so comfortable and confident. You know, the pro day itself was a day of like, hey, I'm just having a pro day because USC's having a day and I'm the number one pick and let me just go through the motions. It was the most boring, you know, like mundane, normal pro day ever. So, yeah, we're not shocked. They got a guy that's special. Ryan Poles, back to your Chiefs in Kansas City thing. He's got his new Mahomes. So let's see where it goes.
And I remember we entered the scouting combine week both believing – you trade that number one overall pick for multiple picks. You keep Justin Fields. And then once we got there, and it was evident that both Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus were literally crapping on Justin Fields in between the lines of the things they were saying, just after Kevin Warren, the team president, had really propped him up and created this idea that, well, maybe they are going to keep him.
Right, right.
It was clear from the things they were saying they're ready to move on. And then we meet Caleb Williams, and we're like, well, now we know why.
Right.
They're ready to move on.
And
since then, it's
yeah.
been – the only question's been, does Williams want to play for the Bears? Does he make some sort of a power play? And there were some very subtle signs of discontent early on. I don't know what the Bears did to alleviate those, but there's never been a real conversation or talking point about Williams not wanting to play for the Bears. He took one visit to Chicago.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, this is a no-brainer. This is a no-brainer. And again, to your point, right? We were defenders of Justin Fields, right? And yeah, it's not perfect, but it's on the right trajectory. There's things you can like. You can build around it, right? I was the guy saying that towards the end of the year. But, man, what happened at the Combine week was all that stuff you talked about, and I watched Caleb Williams before we got there, and I went, oh, my gosh, he's amazing. He's not only the number one pick, he's like a special number one pick. And I think that's where the world changed and everything. And, of course, they already knew that because they had been watching film and watching him already. And, yeah, Caleb Williams, I'm excited. I'm excited for Chicago to have this type of guy. This is, man, Justin Fields was an incredible physical talent. They've never had a guy that could throw the football like this. This is one of the most special arms to come in through Chicago Bears and that organization ever in the history of the franchise.
They haven't had a franchise quarterback since Sid Luckman.
Yeah.
That was a point that I became aware of when they traded for Jay Cutler back in 2009. Cutler got them to one NFC championship game. Some of the Cutler fans get mad when I say the Bears haven't had a franchise quarterback since Sid Luckman, but Cutler never got.
He was like right on the fringe of that.
A franchise quarterback.
Right, right.
Right.
Yeah.
And Jim McMahon, they won a Super Bowl, but there's plenty of quarterbacks, frankly, all due respect to Jim McMahon, that would have won a Super Bowl with that defense and that team around him in 1985. Sid Luckman, that's how long it's been for the Bears. So maybe this does turn everything around. By the way, the Bears are the first team in 45 years to hold the first overall pick in the draft without earning it the hard way by sucking or trading up for it that offseason.
That same year.
Or just like the Falcons did to get Mike Vick back in 2001. Right. I remember that was a big surprise when they traded the Chargers. The Bills had traded. Do you know who they traded?
Oh,
Get the number one overall pick from the 49ers? You know who they traded? He's been in the news.
The juice, right. Yeah.
Traded the juice
right.
in 78 for the future first round pick. And that future first round pick, courtesy of the 49ers going 2-14, became the first overall pick. So it was the O.J. Simpson trade by Buffalo to San Francisco that got the first overall pick. The Bills took linebacker Tom Cousineau, not to be confused with acting teacher Gene Cousineau. That's kind of a deep cut, a show that's not on anymore, but an excellent show on HBO. Chris doesn't know what I'm talking about.
No.
But, who would the 49ers have taken at number one overall in 1979? Who might they have taken?
Damn.
Who did Bill Walsh love
in
1979?
Yeah, that's right. Big Phil. Big Phil thought, I mean, they had, in 79, I know they had I think they ended up having, I can't remember what it was, late in the first round. Maybe they still had a pick, whatever. But, yeah, Big Phil thought he was going to the 49ers, and Bill Walsh, they said, if you're there, we're going to take him. And it was one of those, the Giants, my dad had no meeting with them, had no idea, came out of nowhere, pick number 7. The Giants fans and Pete Rozelle, you know, did a redo of the pick and filmed it again and told the people to boo louder. And that's the famous clip everybody's seen everywhere. Right, right.
Wow.
Right.
That's good. I didn't know about that.
Yeah. It was actually there was a reaction at first. And as I've learned through the years, they actually told them to retape him saying it, like, quarterback Phil Sims. And they kind of got the crowd even more razzed up and they booed even harder that time.
Is it because at the first time around, the crowd was like, who the hell is
that? I think a little bit. I think it was. That's kind of what I've been led to believe over the years. A little bit was like, everyone was like, who? Huh? I mean, what? I never heard of that guy. And then, they got a better reaction. And I don't know, maybe the guys in the back and Kristen could pull it up. It's probably out there somewhere.
I don't know that he'd been first overall to the 49ers, but I did see someone make the point in the past week that reminded me of our past conversations that O.J. Simpson trade might have contributed to Joe Montana and not Phil Sims being the quarterback of the 49ers.
Right.
How different your life would have been. Hey, dude, you wouldn't have existed. Your dad never would have met your mom.
No, you're right.
I mean, think about that.
Right.
If the Bills don't trade O.J. Simpson, you exist because of O.J. Simpson.
Well, yes.
I mean, think about that.
Right.
Without O.J. Simpson, there's a chance Chris Sims does not exist.
Damn, right. I mean, there's so many funny jokes and improper things I could say right now, but I won't. I don't even know where to go.
All right. I mean, it's just weird.
It is
weird. You
know,
people, I mean, I don't want to get too existential.
I'd be really Silver Spoon if I was out there in San Francisco and my dad was then getting that Joe Montani money. No, I don't know. I mean, I could have swam upstream still. You don't know. I mean, again, I could have got there.
You know how biology works, right?
Kind of, yes.
Everybody wants to win the lottery. I mean, think about it. The simple fact, and this just kind of fell out of the sky, but I do think about this from time to time. The simple fact that you even exist. You have won one hell of a freaking lottery to even exist as a human being. That's the original lottery that we all have won, everyone on the planet. Now, the prize varies from state to state and country to country, but just existing in and of itself, you've already won the lottery. Okay. Oh, we do have video of the Phil Sims draft.
Oh, they got it.
Audio as well? Do we have the booing as well? Pete?
I'm sure.
Is it just video? Let's have a look. Well, he says we have it, so I get ready to throw it to it. And he's like, well, we're trying.
We're trying. Well,
you either have it or you don't.
Yeah.
All right, let's have a listen and a look at Phil Simms being drafted in 1979. And, of course, I can't hear it. Hopefully the rest of you can hear it. Can Chris hear it? Does anyone hear it? It's not working.
Oh,
it's not
damn.
Working. There's Phil.
There he is. Oh, Phil. This is a highlight
for
montage.
For nearly 2 years, he was banned.
Oh, there it goes. I heard the sound at the end. I heard
the audio
sound.
Finally shows up.
New York Giants first round selection. Quarterback Phil Simms, Morehead State.
Pete's like, you did a better job that time. Thank you. Thank
exactly.
you.
Exactly. Right now, you can kind of see it, right? His reaction is almost like, there we go.
Yeah,
right.
Well
exactly.
done.
Right.
That's it. That's
exactly.
better.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
That must have been very early into their pivot to even having people there. It used to be just a bunch of dudes in a cigarette smoke filled room.
Right. Right.
Right. Yeah. With
just
a
the phones
with
and
the
boards.
Cards.
Right. Right. Give me that guy.
Cigars, too. Cigars, yeah, cigarettes. Yeah. None of Chris's cigars that we know of. The next pick on the board tonight, the Washington Commanders, second overall. Jaden Daniels currently minus 1,000 favorite to go two overall. Just 6 days ago, both Daniels and Drake May were minus 115. Now it has separated. It's been all over the place. Clear favorite currently is Jaden Daniels to go second overall, barring some massive deal by the Raiders who have talk to the Commanders because Antonio Pierce would love to reunite with Jaden Daniels, the kid he recruited to Arizona State back in 2018 for the 2019 season. The Vikings possibly trying to make a move to number two. I've suggested if you're not going to pay Justin Jefferson, just throw him in there and get that deal done. Either way, second overall, most likely to the Commanders, undoubtedly Jaden Daniels. Run to the podium, Chris, as you've said.
Yeah.
And Daniels, you know, the draft doesn't start until pick number three because we now know whoever it is that takes him, it's going to be Daniels at number two.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Daniels is the guy. I think, you know, that's pretty standard protocol through the whole league. Like, we've talked about it a lot. Hey, Caleb wins. Jaden Daniels is, you know, right over the top two. And then we got the rest of the guys. But Daniels is special. The Commanders got something there. And certainly he's a good fit with Cliff Kingsbury's offense and the fact that, hey, he's a good, consistent, accurate passer. And the way Cliff spreads the field a little bit, that's going to give problems with a guy like Jaden Daniels, just like with Kyler Murray a little bit. Because, again, field spread, we're worried about these weapons, McLaurin, Dotson, right? They got all that working. And, oh, no, wait, we're out in pass coverage, and now Jaden Daniels is cutting through us and running for a 40-yard gain. He's got some special attributes about him. I think this is a no-brainer. Good for the Washington Commanders to get this. Of course, didn't like the whole situation and how that was handled, right? I mean, the Topgolf thing, good thing it didn't blow up in their face, right? I think as we're starting to hear maybe a little bit, it might have been what you said. The owner only had that day, and that forced them to kind of do that and bring them all in at the same time.
That's still to come. We finally have an answer on my fan fiction speculation as to why they were all in there one day. That's all right. Before we get to that, Jaden Daniels was asked the fairly loaded question, what else are you going to say when you're the poor kid that is about to be drafted and you have no power whatsoever and you need to have a fan base that actually is motivated to go out and buy your jersey and come to the games and support you? What are you going to say? No, I don't want to play there. Here's Jaden Daniels being asked by reporters yesterday. What would it be like to go to the Commanders?
It'll be fun. Be able to go there and just be blessed to really just fulfill my childhood dream, whoever that is, whatever team that is. So, you know, I'm happy.
How about the whole idea of the group visit? Some guys said they really, really liked it. Did you get a lot out of it?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you have fun. It was one of it was the only visit I went to that wasn't really, where you have to remember a play or, you know, try to remember an instar or something like that. So it was dope, and especially be with guys that I kind of knew throughout the process and before that. So it was fun.
Boy, let me tell you something. And again, what's he going to say? And I think anytime a guy says, I'm just fulfilling my childhood dream to be drafted, that's kind of code for, you know, I'm trying to I'm trying to go glass half full here. I really wanted to be drafted. I wanted to be drafted as high as possible. I never really thought about which team until now. But, you know, the Raiders, maybe there's others where I would be a better fit, but there's not a damn thing I can do about it, so I'm not going to say it. You hear what he said about the visit, though? It's the only place where I didn't have to, like, you know, convince them
that I know how to call a play and, and like know how to play quarterback. Right. That's where it's weird. Right. Right. Like I had, and again, the Top Golf thing, I'm not against that. Pete heard me say this yesterday in the podcast. I'm not against that. Right. I think there is a lot of good in all that. Right. You know, I even had coaches who, like, you know, after we did that segment and stuff, were like, hey, we do the Top Golf thing. You know, it's not a, it's a good exercise. But it came back to the same point with the coaches I talked to. I said, but have you ever done that with a quarterback? And they went, oh, well, no, I've never done it. And I said, yeah, that's what we're talking about. We got no problem with the other thing. It's the quarterback position. That's different. It's unheard of. Right. So it's not a weird thing for D tackles and a wide receiver and a linebacker to be there. And yeah, but that's not the intricate interview that a quarterback has to deal with. And like you saying, yeah. And most of those visits, it's like, hey, we teach you a bunch of stuff. Hey, draw it on the board for us. Show us. Teach us back. Hey, let's eat some food. Hey, remember that stuff we did on the board? Let's go on the field now. We'd like to see how much you actually remember and can do on the field. And those are things that they did not get to do there in Washington because of the way it was scheduled.
And I'm glad you made that point, because when this all first came up last week, like, there was so much pushback because Bill Belichick says they did this all the time. Not with
quarterbacks.
A high-end, right, face of the franchise, franchise-altering, success-determining quarterback.
Right.
They never did that when Belichick was there. He inherited Drew Bledsoe. I don't know what they did in advance of drafting Mac Jones, but you don't bring all the top quarterbacks in all at once when you have a top five pick and you know you're going to take one of these guys. You're doing as much as you can with them individually. My immediate thought, Chris, when this all happened, my immediate thought was that was the one day the owner was available. And the owner, he's got that spoon deep in the stew, and he's going to have his input because it's his team, and that's fine. That's fine. Let's just hope that the people who work for him are willing to ignore whatever signs they might be getting from the owner as we get close to the draft. So, like, hey, the owner likes this guy. I mean, David Tepper, he liked Bryce Young. Everybody liked Bryce Young, even the people who didn't like Bryce Young. They liked Bryce Young over C.J. Stroud last year. That's the danger. So, I've bounced my theory off of a bunch of people, media, agents, team, and they're like, yeah, it makes sense. That's the only day that the owner was there and he wanted to meet with all of them. So, coincidentally, yesterday, J.J. McCarthy on the Rich Eisen show admitted, let's have a listen, admitted that that's why they were all there at the same time to meet with the owner. Here it is.
But supposedly Adam Pearce was talking about this was something they did back in San Fran. So
right.
It was unique to me and to the guys there because it's obviously, you know, first time going through this. But it was a lot of fun, and I really liked the way, you know, he went about that whole process because, you know, the owner was in for 2 days and he wanted to get everyone there in those 2 days. So it was pretty special the way he handled that.
Ah-ha! That's the truth. That's what it always was. Everything else is just word salad to justify what they did. The owner is there. The owner is available. The owner wants to meet with each one of them. Bring them all in on the same day. That's it. Even if they would have rather spread it out. And they're not going to tell you the truth. Oh, Adam Peters did it in San Francisco. Well, how did that work out with Trey Lance? So and
they didn't do it that year. They didn't do that with the quarterback year. They didn't bring them all in and play Top Golf. They didn't do that.
And we played the sound from the pre-draft press conference for the Commanders last week, and the assistant GM of the Commanders said, yeah, I'd never been involved in something like that before. That was kind of neat. So, you know, people were acting like, oh, this is normal. This is natural. It's not normal. It's not natural. But the normal and natural explanation is the owner wanted to meet with all of them, and for whatever reason, the owner's too busy to be there for 4 different days, one day this week, one day the next week, 2 days the following week, whatever. He's here. Bring them all to me. And, okay, let's see how it goes, and let's hope that there's enough separation between owner and football operation that football operation can do what they think they need to do to get the best quarterback, independent of whatever signs, signals, body language, facial expressions, questions asked in a certain way that they might be getting from Josh Harris. Because that's the obligation of the owner. Yeah, you know, ultimately it's your team, it's your pick, and you want to be comfortable with it. But if you fall in love with a guy because you like him, because you have a connection with him, because you get along with him better than the others, and you allow that to kind of emanate from your being, you may end up with Bryce Young instead of C.J. Stroud. All due respect to Bryce Young, but we all agree the Panthers should have taken C.J. Stroud last year. And David Tepper, after the fact, tried to make it look like everybody in the building preferred Bryce Young. Yeah, they did, because they detected that's who the boss wanted.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there. I don't. You know, there's a lot of play here, and we definitely seem like we're in an era where the owners definitely want to be involved more than ever. It does seem like we're there, and yeah, that I want to apologize to, you know, Adam Peters and Dan Quinn for anything saying about them going, wait, I don't like that for the quarterbacks or anything there, right? Now
not
we know
them.
It wasn't
not
them. Right, yep. You know, and it is a cool exercise for other, you know, other positions and other guys on the football team. But again, the quarterback one's different, as we're alluding to here. And yeah, apologies to them for things that I might have blamed them for last week.
But I will say this. You know, and I know it's not easy to have difficult conversations, but sometimes if you're Adam Peters, you got to say to Josh Harris, you know, it's probably in our best interest in order to do the most thorough homework we can do on these players when we bring them here to be able to get them up on the whiteboard and to really make the most of this limited time, grand scheme of things that we have with these folks we're considering, we really should, anything you can do, if there's a way you can rearrange your schedule to be here every day that we can get these guys here and do it one quarterback per day, this is a really important thing, you know, and there's a tactful way to do it, almost like you put out enough evidence so the owner comes to the decision on his own.
Yeah, right.
It's not easy to do when you're tiptoeing around a billionaire. It's not easy to do, but that's one of the challenges, because yes, they should have had a day with Jaden Daniels, a day with Drake May, a day with J.J. McCarthy, a day with Michael Penix, if they were seriously considering all four of them. That's what they should have done, and they didn't. Now, it looks like they've settled on Jaden Daniels unless they trade the pick. They still could trade the pick because Jaden Daniels is the overwhelming favorite to go second overall. It's not necessarily to go to the Commanders. But, they squandered an opportunity to get more evidence, to get more information, to get more insight, because they brought them all in on the same day, because that was the day the owner had budgeted for this project.
Well, yeah. And hey, Jaden Daniels, of course he wants to be drafted high. Right. Yes, that's part of, you know, hey, I'm the number two pick of the draft. Everybody wants that, right? We know he wants to go to the Raiders and do all that as well. But damn, there's some things again. But you know, like we've talked about some of the other quarterbacks, the Commanders, they're dying for somebody to come in there and take over and just be the savior of the franchise. And I think that can, you know, be somewhat intriguing to these high level quarterbacks, because they're like, wait, I can come in here and save the day and build something and like be looked at as like the greatest pillar in the history of the organization, let alone, hey, it's an organization that, yeah, Doug Williams, the first African-American quarterback to win the Super Bowl, the man, number 17, he was there. There's a little bit of a history there with this. Washington, D.C., right? We know there's a, you know, an African-American community there, right? And there's a lot of things to be, you know, really excited about. And he's got some weapons at receiver. So it's not the worst spot. We know that. But, yeah, there's some things we've questioned about how ownership has handled a few situations. Hopefully that doesn't filter, you know, onto the field too much.
And it's almost as if they don't have three Super Bowl victories. It's almost as if that didn't happen. You know, for a lot of these quarterbacks, I'm coming to a team that has a trophy case already, and there's an attraction to go to a team that really doesn't, because then you can become the guy.
Right.
In Washington, beyond the fact that they changed the name of the team, that 25 years of Daniel Snyder owning the team basically wiped it all clean. And now you are. You're the first guy of this new era of Washington football. And you're the guy that could maybe be the first one to win two Super Bowls, because that was one of the things that make Joe Gibbs one of the great coaches of all time. Three Super Bowls in less than a decade with three different starting quarterbacks. Joe Theismann, Doug Williams, Mark Rippon. No one's won two. And that's just part of the potential attraction.
It is, right.
Yeah, the stadium sucks, frankly. And I don't know that they'll have a new stadium within the lifespan of whoever the next quarterback is. But beyond that, there's a lot of tradition there. There's excitement. And I know that Commanders fans get upset when we say anything other than everything is great. Well, fans of every team get upset when we say anything other than everything is great. Maybe we should just say everything is great all the time and just be zombies and everything is great. Oh, how about that? Oh, it's great. How about this? Oh, it's great. Here's why. But yeah, it's good that Daniel Snyder is gone, but that doesn't mean that new ownership is suddenly going to answer all the questions and propel the team to the top of the mountain in a very competitive league. So we'll see if they can pull that off.
Right.
Here's a question.
Yeah.
You had posed this last night or whoever was posting on your Twitter.
Well, Pete's my homie there. He helps me a lot. And, you know, Matt Casey does too, right? But that was, Pete.
Which quarterback?
Right.
Thank God you don't do it. It would be a lot more entertaining if you did it. Which quarterback is most likely to fall out of the top five? Obviously not Jaden Daniels. It comes down to May or McCarthy.
Right.
And as we discussed earlier, May feels like the guy at number three, whether it's the Patriots, the Giants, or the Vikings, or some other unknown team that jumps up there. McCarthy is the most likely to fall out of the top five. There's still a chance. If Jim Harbaugh gets his wish, somebody will trade up to number four to get McCarthy so that the Chargers will have the de facto first overall pick in the draft. And Harbaugh's been banging the drum. He's the one that really, it felt like, now it probably would have happened anyway, but it really felt like when Harbaugh came out strong and said he'll be the top pick, when it's all said and done, he'll be the top pick. He was wrong about that. But it was enough of a push that he's up in that conversation. And like I said, he might have gotten there anyway, but it really kind of sparked, and it might be coincidence, when Harbaugh said what he said to Colin Cowherd, whatever it was, 2-3 months ago.
It helps people, it encourages people, right, to hear that type of thing, right? Oh, wait, I like him. Oh, wait, I hear that head coach say that about him. Damn, I am right to like him. He is good, right? That's what, like, when you can hear comments like that, that are that strong as an evaluator or some other coach who's evaluating doing whatever, that's where it's always great to hear that. But I think, like, to what you said, I think he'd be up here no matter what, right? The pedigree's there. We talked about it, right? I mean, he's an awesome kid, let alone he's got arguably the strongest arm in the draft. I mean, it's up there, right? I mean, Caleb, Michael Penix, I mean, they can let it fly. I mean, they can let it fly. So he has that. You know, he ran a pro-style offense, right? We'd all like to wish he would have thrown and had more games where he threw more. But as you've heard me say, there's also a lot to give him credit for to go, hey, it ain't that easy to go, hey, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Oh, now we need a big throw and make that happen, right? That's where, you know, I think he impresses people too. So, I think he would have got up here anyways. The big thing is, right, and where, like, I don't think he's going in number three. He is the guy that's going to fall out of the top five, right? I think the big thing is, and where I don't know exactly, is let's say Minnesota gets to three, right, and you guys take Drake May. Boom, it's out, off, all right? Now, we get to six, right? I've been led to believe through people I've talked to in the league with this trade stuff and all of this, and I don't know this for sure, but it seems like the Giants are like Drake May, or we're not going to take a quarterback at all, and then we'll stay with what we got. That's the sense I got here. So that's where I go, ooh, so J.J. McCarthy might not even end up at number six if that doesn't happen. And then it's like, where does it go from there? And maybe it's the Patriots back at 11, something like that. But I think it's an interesting talk or conversation nonetheless, Mike.
Is this all just a shot across the bow at Daniel Jones? I mean, it sounds like they'd like to get Drake May if they could, but if Drake May is the only guy they'd make the move for, and otherwise we're sticking with what we have, whether they intend it or not, it is a giant shot across the bow at Daniel Jones.
Yeah, definitely now. Definitely. 100%. And, you know, maybe that's why it's been so quiet on the home front with this conversation. Like, we've heard little things and all that. But, you know, have they been trying to keep it quiet so they don't, you know, if it doesn't happen, we can be like, oh, no, Daniel Jones, we still like you. We didn't really try to trade to get another quarterback. I don't know. But, yeah, that's the part I'm not sure about. They definitely want to get to three. They definitely like May. I know that. It's just that if they don't get there, I don't. No, and I've gotten the feel that it won't be another quarterback if they don't get May. So that's the part I'm a little, you know, in the dark about.
The one fact of the various facts that have emerged over the past several months that made me think the Giants are trying to keep their interest in a quarterback quiet. When Drew Lock signed, it was reported as 1 year, $5 million, and nothing more.
Right.
Nothing more. Well, there's a $3 million incentive package, so it should have been reported as 1 year up to $5 million. We know how agents operate. It's out of character for an agent to leave out a $3 million piece, but those $3 million in incentives are tied to playing. And if you shine a light on that, people start saying, maybe they're planning for Drew Lock at some point to take over for Daniel Jones, and maybe Daniel Jones really isn't their guy. And if you start thinking that, you start thinking, what are they going to do with the sixth overall pick in the draft? And maybe they'll trade up. So that was when I first thought, hey, they may be thinking about doing something here at quarterback. It just, I think, makes a huge mess for the team, especially if you don't trade Daniel Jones during or after round one. And maybe that's what will happen tomorrow. You know, maybe in the 18 hours between the end of round one and the start of round two, the Giants find someone who would give them a day two or day three pick, and the Giants pay half the salary, just like the Jets are doing with the Broncos. Let's split down the middle on Zach Wilson. We'll pay $17.5 just to get this guy off the books. Give us a third round pick. Give us a conditional pick next year. Do something. You take him because you didn't get your quarterback. You were looking for a quarterback. You didn't get him. You need a stopgap, and this is your guy. I think there's an opportunity potentially for that to happen because not everybody who is thinking about a quarterback right now is going to get a quarterback right now.
No.
The problem is he's coming off of
the
ACL tear,
and
he's got this neck thing that keeps happening.
Yep.
So it's just a mess. It's a mess for the Giants, and we'll see how they clean it up tonight. Let's go ahead and take a break. What about the other two quarterbacks who could go in round one? They were specifically not invited to the draft because the NFL feared they were going to do the Will Levis slip and slide all the way to round two. Will one or both still be on the board after round one ends tonight? We're talking about Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix. We'll do that next here on PFT Live.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.